Peter took and he got out of the boat. Another reason that people don't take and get out of the boat a lot of times is complacency. But the second is control. Control. You say, what do you mean? Here they were in a small ship, not a Titanic. Here they were in a small ship out in the middle of this water with a storm. And not only was by them, he could have took and stayed in the boat a more comfortable place, but he could have stayed in the boat where he had control. You say, now, it sounds like to me, Pastor, from reading this account, they didn't have much control of the situation. You know what? You're right. But I ask you the same question, but yet a little different than what I asked you earlier. Where would they have had the most control at? You got two choices, in the boat or out of the boat in the water. Which one will you have the most control of? If you're in the boat. Amen? In a storm, you ain't got much of a chance if you're out there in the middle of the water. But if you got a boat, I'd feel a whole lot better about the situation. I think, well, at least I got a place where I feel somewhat, hopefully, comfortable that I might can ride it out and make it. You know, you're somewhat in control of the situation. I think about you and I today, maybe the reason we don't get out of the boat a lot of times is because we like to be as much as possible in control of the situations of life. If I'm honest with you this morning, I would have to say a lot of times, most times probably, that's me. The reason why I won't take and get out of the water, of the boat into the water, is because simply I want to be in control as much as possible of things. Yeah, if he got out of the boat, he wasn't going to be in control pretty much at all. But if he took and he stayed in that boat, then they could at least take and keep bailing out water. They could at least take and maybe try to get some oars going or something and fight to the shore. They could at least took and been in control somewhat. But you think about, that's the way it is a lot of times in our lives. The reason why we don't get out of the boat is because we want to stay in control as much as possible. But yet instead, Peter got out of the boat. But I want you to notice, we talked about that faith earlier that Peter had, that little faith. But when you think about Peter getting out of that boat, he was willing to give up that control to God because of his faith, despite the doubt. And he wound up walking on water. And the reason why I say that this morning is, notice this is a great lesson to be learned about faith in this account. Because number one, a lot of times today, people, before I go into that, a lot of people misunderstand what faith is. A lot of people, and maybe even some of us sometimes in our lives might think we know what faith is, but we, if we're not careful, revert to the wrong definition of what faith is. I see that in my life too sometimes. But I think we see a clearest example of faith, one of the clearest given right here in this book, in this account. Number one, we see his faith, he called out to God. You say, what do you mean? When God called out to him, what did Peter do? He called out to God and he told him what he needed. He said, Lord, he said, if it's you, faith, but yet there was a little bit of doubt there. Lord, if it's you, take and let me get out of this ship. Let me come to you. He called out to God. Faith will do that. Amen. Will call out to God. You have not because you ask not. True faith will call out to God, even the little faith. But yet another thing we see is not only did he call out to God, but what happened? God called out to him. Amen. God answered our prayer. Amen. And what did he wind up doing? Then he obeyed God. You see today what happens a lot of times is you and I, we might get to the place of calling out to God. God calls back to us. And we say, whoa, Lord, I don't know about that one. Don't we? Are you sure about that, Lord? And we don't take and obey God. You see, true faith is he called out to God. God called back to him. He obeyed what God told him to do. Our third, another way to put it, is he placed faith in God's Word. He placed faith in God's Word. You say, what do you mean? There wasn't a Bible out there. It wasn't even completed yet, right? There wasn't a Bible out there on that ship floating around. He didn't place his faith in God's Word. Yes, he did. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Amen. And he said, come. In other words, get out of the boat, Peter. Come on down. So what did he do when he got out of that boat? He placed his faith in God's Word. Amen? He took and he come down out of that ship. He got out of that boat. He let go, if you will, the control of the situation. And he said, Lord, I'm trusting you by faith and your Word and what you have told me to do. And I'm giving you control. And I'm looking to you to help me to somehow walk on this water. You see, true faith is letting go of the control and trusting God. We talk about the pilot and the co-pilot, right? God shouldn't be the co-pilot. He ought to be the pilot. Amen? Some people have used the saying, and sometimes it's used wrongly, and sometimes it's used badly, like a lot of things, depending on how you look at it. Let go and let God. In this case, that's a good thing. Because why? The Lord told him what to do. He let go of that control, and he said, okay, I'll get out of the ship. I'm coming. You see, in other words, I'm saying today that true faith is one that's based off Scripture and God's will. Was it God's will for him to be in the ship? Yes. Was it God's will for him to get out on the water? Yes. How do we know? Because God told him to go to the ship. God told him to get out on the water. And what happened? He walked on the water. Amen? So there's no doubt that he was biblical faith. He was doing, not jumping out of that ship blindly, as some people think faith is, but he was taken instead and he was obeying God, and by faith, he didn't know exactly what would happen when he got out there on that water, but by faith he trusted God in that little bit of faith that he had, and he did what God wanted him to do, despite even the little bit of doubt he had, because he had God's Word to back it up. You see, that's true faith this morning. That's what Peter did. By faith, he took and he got out on that boat. Let God, letting go and let God is a part of faith, but it must be backed up with you've got God's Word. And you're letting Him have control and faith in Him and in His Word and what He has said for you to do. And that's what Peter did. Two reasons so far that sometimes we don't get out of the boat, complacency and control. But third and lastly, another reason we don't take and get out of the boat, and this applies with Sunday school for sure this morning, is conformity. Conformity. Another reason we don't take and get out of the boat is conformity. In other words, Peter could have looked around and said, well, nobody else is saying anything about getting out the boat. I want to stay in control of this thing. I'm as comfortable as I'm going to get out here in this storm. Lord, come on in the boat, Jesus. Come with us. Help us out. He could have looked around and nobody else was saying nothing about getting out the boat. After he said it and the Lord said, come, he could have said, whoa, I don't know about that now. I wasn't quite expecting that answer, Lord. And he could have stayed right there in that boat and just did what everybody else was doing. Lord, you told me to get in this boat and I'm here. Yeah, but now the Lord said, get out of it. You see, he could have conformed. He could have just stayed right where he was like all these others did. But instead, what did he do? He got out of the boat. Sometimes why we don't get out of the boat is conformity. And I have no clue where this quote come from, but I had it wrote in something I found this week. And I wish I could say I thought it up. I may have, I may not have, so I ain't going to take credit for it. But I had this wrote down about this specific account and about this idea of conformity. It says, to get nowhere for God, just follow the crowd. To get nowhere for God, just follow the crowd. If Peter would have taken and stayed in the boat, guess what? He'd been following the crowd. He would have been conforming, doing what everybody else was doing that was out there in the storm with him. He would have been conforming. And I thought about this a good bit this week. I just want to give you this to think about as the Lord worked this point into me just a little bit. You think about a lot of churches nowadays, they're talking about doing things different than what we used to do. We need to change things. We got to, you know, be more update, progressive, and all of that. And I ain't even going to get into the right and wrong of all that this morning. But I just want to give you this one thought. We've talked about a lot of that before. We talked about compromise, all the things in Sunday school this morning, and didn't even really deal with that particularly, but just compromise in general. And I thought about this idea of conformity. You think about getting out of the boat, a lot of them make it out like where we are trying something different. We're doing something new, right? We're changing from the way things were. We're doing something different. Is that really different when 9 out of 10 churches around us are doing the same thing you're doing, sir? You understand what I'm saying this morning? All around us, this church is conforming to what that church down the road is doing. They're taking the name of their denomination off the sign. They're conforming to another one by getting this program, this play, this music, this band, this praise and worship. Who's the one really? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying they're not taking the day, as a lot of them want to put out to say, that I am taking, we are taking, and going this new direction. Because to a point, guess what? You really think about it, folks, and they're not getting out of the boat. They're conforming. They're conforming. Because the ones that's getting out of the boat today, guess who they are? Churches like our church right now that's trying our best with the grace and help of God. Because it's easier to go down there and stay in the boat with everybody else. Say, they're doing that? Okay, we're going to do it too. That's conforming. Not conforming is taking and saying, hey, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and for what we're talking about this morning, I'm going to get out of the boat. Amen? So you see, actually the ones this morning that's not conforming, that's not, if you will, starting out, is us. Is the church, true church of God that seeks to follow this book. Because the most part, not following this book today. I'm simply saying today, you think about getting out of the boat. Conformity is to stay in the boat, to follow the crowd, to do what everybody else is doing. That's the popular thing. It's not by faith to do all these things that everybody else is doing. That's by sight, because we see what everybody else is doing and we're trying to be like them. Faith instead is, I'm going to stick with what God has told me to do, and I'm going to do that. Amen? You see, that's what Peter did. He didn't conform. He didn't stay in the boat like everybody else did. And he didn't take it. He did what God called for him to do. You think about today, the simple thing today of following God. We ought to follow God rather than the things of this world. Amen? We should conform just because everybody else is going their other direction. To get nowhere for God is just to follow the crowd in our lives. And you can apply that to so many things. So many things. Instead, we shouldn't follow the crowd. We ought to follow the Lord. Amen? We ought to follow Him and what His Word says. Turn with me. I've seen something I had never seen before. Romans 12. And y'all probably saw it. If you did, amen. Let me be excited about showing you anyway. Romans 12 and verse 1. And you're familiar with verse 1. We talk about this verse and read it a lot of times and things, and even verse 2. But notice there's one little thought I want to show you here. This thing of conforming. One reason why we don't get out of the boat is because we want to conform. We want to stay with everybody else, if you will. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to the believers. The ones in the ship that day were what? The disciples, if you will. Notice that. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we talk about these things a lot, so I'll just read them. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We're talking about conformity could have caused them to stay in the boat. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's so many things we could say, but notice the last phrase. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's so many people today that want to know what God's will is for their lives. At least verbally, they say they do. So many books have been written about it. And I want to know and I want to do God's will in my life today too. But do you realize the Bible, and we know we talk about this a lot, tells us some clear things that's God's will for our lives. And one of them is found right here. It said it, didn't it? Plain as day, black and white. The will of God for our lives is to what? To live a holy, clean, separated life. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable thing. But the last part of verse 2, it said that. You see that word that in verse 2? After he goes through listing these things, he says that. After talking about being separated, holy, living sacrifice, he says that. In other words, this is why. Amen? This is why you need to do that. That. Here it is. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I submit to you simply this is what I'm trying to say this morning, that for us to do the will of God, we must take and live holy and clean lives. You see, he said, that ye may prove. In other words, that if we don't do the first thing that we know God wants us to do, to live a clean life, to seek to obey His Word and do the things He would have us to do in our lives, that's all holy and clean means, right? To do the things that God says in His Word for us to do, holy, clean lives, then guess what? We're never going to prove and be able to do that perfect and acceptable will of God. We're not going to see it. Because we've got to first have a holy, clean vessel fit for the Lord's use. Amen? And in other words, let me give you a saying we use sometimes. God can't bless a mess. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying this morning. That's what these verses, I believe, saying. Hey, you want to prove God's will? You want to do God's will? That you may prove? Then you need to do what verse 1 says. You need to live a holy and a clean, pure life before the Lord. With His help. I'm simply saying today, not conforming, if you will, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we do that through lots of things, but mainly through the Word of God. I'm simply saying today, we shouldn't seek to be conformed to this world, but instead to be conform our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? To conform ourselves to the Lord. To conform ourselves through to His Word. Amen? And then allow Him to take and transform us into what He would have us to be. Amen? Into what He would want for us to be. I think about today, conformity, if you will. We ought to take today and realize that sometimes conformity causes us to stay in the boat. Peter could have stayed in the boat. After all, that's what the rest of them did. But Peter took and he got out of the water. He said, you know what? I'm going to take today. I'm not going to be complacent. This might be the most comfortable place. It might be the most place that I've got the most control of in my life. It might be the place where everybody else is or everybody else is going. But I'm not going to conform and follow the crowd and stay with them. Even though they're believers, even though they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, these disciples, we would assume did, that were there with Him in the boat that day, I'm going to take instead and not worry about what they do. That's between them and the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And He said, come. Today I ask me and you, will we get out of the boat? Will we get out of the boat today? Do you want to see God do a miracle in your life today? Do you want to see God do a miracle in your church today and in your family today? Do you want to see God do some miracles in 2018? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind seeing Him going ahead and doing one in 2017. It ain't over yet. The ball ain't dropped yet. Amen? I'm simply saying, do you want to see God do a miracle? Of course we're all going to say yes to that. Of course we are. But notice the way I said the question. Do you want to see God do a miracle? I'd love to see God do a miracle, wouldn't you? But do you realize everybody that was there that day, in that boat, out there during this account, guess what they did? They saw a miracle. But I ask you a different question. There was only one other than the Lord Jesus. One that didn't just see a miracle, but was able to actually be the one that the Lord used to allow that miracle to take place. He didn't just see it, but if you will, He took part in it. Moses in the boat, all they did was look out and say, wow, what a miracle. I'm going to go tell some people about it. Amen, you ought to. That's great. They had a story to tell. But what's even greater is to be the one, like Peter, that didn't just see it, but could go and say, hey, guess what God did in my life? I didn't just see somebody walking on the water. I was blessed enough that the Lord had chose to use me, that I could take and that I could walk on the water. I didn't just see God do a miracle. He did it in my life. I didn't just see it in somebody else's, but He did it in mine. I believe I've seen and I've read a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of testimonies about God doing things in churches. I'm glad I've seen those things from afar. But if you allow me to say it this way, I don't want to just see it. I want to be a part of it.
Amen. That's right.
I want to be the one, not because of me, but I want the Lord to use me to do a miracle in my life and in our church. That we won't just say, well, it's great to see that miracle down the road, or to hear about that miracle, to read about it. No. I want to say, Lord, let me be the one. Help me, Lord. I want to walk on the water for You. I want to be a part of that miracle. I think about Peter. He didn't have much faith. I pointed that out simply because of this. Because a lot of times we use that very excuse. We say, Lord, I don't have much faith. Reminding me of here, Peter, he didn't have much. But did he still walk on water? He saw the miracle and took part in the miracle. I think about another one that said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. That's really what Peter was saying here. That's really what the Lord was saying to him here. And what happened in that case? The Lord worked a miracle. You see, today, to say that I don't have much faith, or to say that, well, Lord, look at little old me compared to everybody else, those are no valid reasons this morning. They're no valid reasons. Because when you look at the Bible this morning, it's not about big, great, glowing, huge faith. It's not about that. Yes, there was great men and ladies that had great, huge faith down through the years. But if you research it out, what did it start with? That faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And that seed takes to grow to be one of the biggest things there is, but it's yet one of the smallest to begin with. You see, today, folks, I'm simply saying the Lord used Peter and his lack of faith, some would say, his little faith, and despite his doubt, God can do the same thing for us if we'll just get out of the boat and obey Him. Today I had this wrote down in my notes, and I just close with this thought. One reason we don't see God leading is because we must step out of the boat. He has called us to step out of the boat. And when we do, we'll see the rest. We'll see the miracle. And the Lord will be able to use us to be a part of that miracle. And somebody said this, and I don't know who it was. It was not me. I don't think. Again, this is something else I found in some of my notes this week. The secret behind getting more faith. You know what it is. Getting out of the boat. I guarantee you that day, after Peter got out of that boat, his faith went. You see, the secret to getting more faith is getting out of the boat, praying, trusting, and obeying God. I'm not talking about foolishness. I explained what faith was this morning in the message about how he showed true faith.